Good evening, Twitter. John Jafar here. Now, you know, I love Brighton Rock, but I'm not talking about the long, sticky, sweet thing that some of us like to wrap our teeth around. Steady? No. I'm talking about the book by Graham Greene that was once made into a film starring Richard Attenborough, which is really quite a good film, has to be said. Now, I was watching TV last night and discovered that they've remade the film. A version's being released next year. And it does look quite good. But I was worried that it might not live up to the original book or film. Now, I tweeted something about this and Debza replied. And, well, you know, put two and two together and you get four. Or in this case, put John Jafar and Debza together and you get Brighton Rock. Or at least you get part of it. And without further ado, let's start at the beginning. Part 1. Hale knew, before he had been in Brighton 3 hours, that they meant to murder him. With his inky fingers and his bitten nails, his manner cynical and nervous, anybody could tell he didn't belong to the early summer sun, the cool Whitsun wind off the sea, the holiday crowd. They came in by train from Victoria every 5 minutes, rocked down Queen's Road, standing on the tops of the little local trams, stepped off in bewildered multitudes into fresh and glittering air. The new silver paint sparkled on the piers, the cream houses ran away into the west like a pale Victorian watercolour, a race in miniature motors, a band playing, flower gardens in bloom below the front, an aeroplane advertising something for the health in pale vanishing clouds across the sky. It had seemed quite easy to Hale to be lost in Brighton. 50,000 people besides himself were down for the day, and for quite a while he gave himself up to the good day, drinking gins and tonics wherever his programme allowed, for he had to stick closely to a programme. From 10 till 11, Queen's Road and Castle Square, from 11 till 12, the Aquarium and Palace Pier, 12 till 1, the front between the Old Ship and West Pier, back for lunch between 1 and 2 in any restaurant he chose around the Castle Square, and after that he had to make his way all down the parade to the West Pier and then to the station by the Hove Streets. These were the limits of his absurd and widely advertised sentry go. Advertised on every messenger poster, Collie Kibber in Brighton today. In his pocket he had a packet of cards to distribute in hidden places along his route. Those who found them would receive 10 shillings from the messenger, but the big prize was reserved for whoever challenged Hale in the proper form of words and with a copy of the messenger in his hand. You are Mr. Collie Kibber, I claim the Daily Messenger prize. This was Hale's job to do sentry go, until a challenger released him. In every seaside town in turn, yesterday Southend, today Brighton, tomorrow... He drank his gin and tonic hastily as a clock struck 11 and moved out of Castle Square. Collie Kibber always played fair, always wore the same kind of hat as in the photograph the messenger printed, was always on time. Yesterday in Southend he had been unchallenged. The paper liked to save its guineas occasionally, but not too often. It was his duty today to be spotted, and it was his inclination too. There were reasons why he didn't feel too safe in Brighton, even in a Whitsun crowd. And there you go. Just a little bit. Debza will carry on. Enjoy. Good night.